Well, good morning and a warm welcome to those in the church this morning. Welcome and thank you for coming along on our fourth Advent Sunday. And welcome if you're joining at home or watching us later in the week. Thank you for being part of our collective worship here this morning. Just if you have any prayer requests, please do read them out. So put them in the comments if you're watching online. I just want to stop at this moment. I think it's appropriate that we pray for Caroline Stout, who's been taken into hospital in Fulbourn. So we're just going to take a moment now and just pray for Caroline. Lord God, we pray a blessing on Caroline in her situation. And Lord God, as we have loved her, walked alongside her in these last few years after Michael's death, I pray that you would be a comfort amongst the confusion. Pray for her family around her. Pray for opportunities to share, to reach out to her. And Lord God, we pray that your spirit would be a comfort and a guide in these days ahead. Amen. If you have any other prayer requests, please do put them in the comments. If you've got young children with you, there's resources on our website. You can download them and they can join in. Just also want to thank all those who worked so hard for our drive-in carol service. I think about 300 people came along, which in my reckoning is the biggest carol service Great Shelford's ever had. What an amazing opportunity to gather together. It was great to see so many faces, so many cars decorated with lights. We had someone who bought a sledge on their roof with Father Christmas in. We had only one little minor bump between two cars, and we had to push start another car. They were our kind of things that happened, but thank you so much. We think we raised about £700 for SSYI and the Shelford Warden Scheme. What a great opportunity to witness to our village and do something that was so appreciated by many on Wednesday night. Thank you all, those who helped out. This evening, we're going to gather again at 8 o'clock on Zoom. Penny and Maria are going to lead us in a time of prayer. Please do, the login details are in the link, so please do join us this evening. Also, we are encouraging people on Christmas Eve to connect with their neighbours, encourage them to sing carols together. There's a repeat on the BBC, the BBC broadcast. The idea is you go and you speak to your neighbours and you give out hymn sheets. If you'd like any information, do contact Colin, who has some more information about that. We're going to light our Advent candle. I've asked Clive and Kaylee if they'd come up and light it. They've agreed last minute, so thank you both very much. And you can come up and light the four candles for us. Thank you. Well done. Big click. Oh, there we go. What a double act, I think. Well done, Clive. Make sure we don't burn any jumpers. Oh, no, you've got to get around now. There you go. Keep going. And you've got to come around the front. Go on, Kaylee, well done. Thank you very much, Kaylee. Thank you, Clive, as well. And we're going to just going to read through our Advent liturgy, which we've been saying during our candle lighting as well. We believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, the one who is full of patience, who is not afraid of silence, who does not need to fill each moment with activity and noise, the one who is beyond the bluster and the flurry, the one who does not jostle for attention. We believe in God, the Son, the Saviour of creation, who slipped into Bethlehem one night, mostly unnoticed, who lived 30 years without headlines or hurry, who frequently took time alone with his patient father, who waited for the right time to become the suffering servant, who stood quietly before the noise of his accusers, whose silence overpowered their words, who died, then rose again on a quiet Sunday morning. We believe in God, the Holy Spirit, who strengthens, empowers, renews, refreshes, sometimes arriving with obvious power, sometimes with quiet breath of a whisper. We believe in one God who patiently waits for us, who longs for us to do the same. We're going to watch a short video from BMS. We did watch it last week. It's a video encouraging us during this Christmas time to give towards the BMS work in Nepal. If you'd like to, you can follow the details online or you can give via Neville. So we're going to watch that now. Thank you, Toby.
I used to think my leprosy was going to kill me. I used to think about trying to kill myself.
And it seems that way when you're on your own, when no one's telling you otherwise, when you think there's no cure, and when your friends and family stop meeting your gaze, reject you, keep you locked away, or throw you out. And when experts say leprosy has been eradicated in Nepal, but your rising fear tells you otherwise. Nepal has one of the highest rates of leprosy in the world, but Nilu knows it doesn't have to be this way.
When I went to the BMS-supported clinic, I was given medicine and clean clothes. The staff touched me and cleaned my wounds. I was overwhelmed by their love and care.
Leprosy can be cured, and even eradicated, in Nepal forever, if enough caring Christians come together to make a difference. Could you give to help people like Nilu suffering with leprosy today? For £13, you could enable a BMS-supported medical worker to test 30 people for signs of leprosy. For £39, you could show love to 10 patients through regular counselling and fellowship sessions. And for £74, you could get 17 people onto a treatment plan to eradicate or slow the spread of this terrible disease. Please give generously this Christmas. Go to bmsworldmission.org/Christmas appeal today. Thank you.
Now we're going to join Lawrence and the worship group.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service.
Thank you.
It's time to join Clive and Diana as they share more of the Christmas story.
Good morning, everyone. We hope you're keeping well in these wet days. And dry, yes. And not washed away. We've had a flood. We have, but fortunately not in the house. All the fields are flooded. Yes, we look out over a lake. And we have a squabble of seagulls out there too. What's that? A squabble of seagulls. It's what you call a group of seagulls. Or sometimes there's a screech of seagulls. You didn't know that. They certainly make a lot of screeching sounds. You just call them a flock of seagulls. Well, that's right too. What do you call a group of angels? Well, you could call them a host of angels, or a choir of angels, or a flight of angels. You just call them a flock of angels. And that's the title of our story today, A Flock of Angels. Shall I read it? A Flock of Angels. That busy angel Gabriel had one more Christmas job to do. He had to tell somebody that the baby Jesus had been born. He could have told a powerful somebody, like a king. He could have told a religious somebody, like a priest. Or he could have told a wealthy somebody, like the richest man in Bethlehem. But instead, he told the shepherds, plain and ordinary somebodies, somebodies like you and me. They were watching their sheep out on the hillside. It was late and it was dark, and some of them just wanted to drop off to sleep. And that's when the angel Gabriel appeared, bright and shiny and golden and glowing, just as he had appeared to Mary. Surprise! Don't be afraid, he said to the shepherds, and he smiled when he realised how silly that was. Of course they were afraid. Who wouldn't be? They had never seen an angel before, and they were trembling and shaking, just like frightened sheep. I have good news for you, Gabriel explained. God has sent someone very special to bring joy into this dark world. And tonight, that someone has been born, not far from here, in Bethlehem. Go. And you will find him, a baby, bundled up tight and lying in a manger. And then suddenly, Gabriel was not alone. The angels that joined him looked like sheep at first, bright against the dark sky, reflections of the beasts on the hillside. But as the shepherds watched, the angels spread their wings and began to sing. Glory to God in heaven and peace to men on earth. And when they had finished, they disappeared, leaving the shepherds alone. It took no time at all. The shepherds leapt to their feet and went to Bethlehem. And there they found Mary and Joseph and the baby in the manger. And when they described what they had seen to the innkeeper and his wife and anyone else who would listen, everyone wondered and was amazed. Everyone but Mary, that is, who nodded and smiled as if she had expected just this sort of thing to happen. Then, singing and laughing, the shepherds went back to the hills, but they kept their eyes trained on the sky, just in case another bright flock of angels should appear. Do you think they remembered the angels forever? I expect they did. When you see something as amazing as that, I think you would remember it forever. Their lives would never be the same again. No, the birth of Jesus changed their lives forever. The birth of Jesus meant that they were no longer excluded, but welcomed as part of God's family. And the birth of Jesus can change our lives too. Because he came, we can be part of God's family forever. Jesus came to save his people from the effects of sin and to invite them to be part of the family of God. And that invitation is extended to every single person. So the group name for people is the family of God, in a way. But although the invitation is there, each person needs to decide for themselves if they want to be part of that family. Everyone is loved, everyone is invited, and everyone needs to choose. That's something to think about. It is. But it's time for us to go now. So we'll say goodbye. It's goodbye from me. And it's goodbye from Clive. Can you ask a question quickly then? What is a group of orangutans called? It's called a buffoonery. But we'll say goodbye and we'll see you next week.
Well, thank you, Diana and Clive, for sharing a little bit of the Christmas story. And I wonder, when you approach the Christmas story now, do you approach it with enthusiasm and vigour? I look around the world and it feels like there's more frustration and sadness and tiredness and disappointment than any other Christmas time I think I've experienced. We are living through very strange times. When one afternoon people's plans can be transformed by the words from the Prime Minister. It is unusual times that we're living through. As I've reflected on the Christmas story, I make an effort every year not to jazz up the Christmas story because I don't think it needs jazzing up. I just want to retell the story again and I want us to learn again and listen again. And this year, the word that continues to stick with me, and I've shared it a number of times, is Emmanuel. I kind of can't get it out of my head. If I think of thinking about any other elements of the story, I get a little bit lost and I keep coming back to this Emmanuel. I get stuck on it when I think of the Christmas story. It's the word that transforms the story from just two young people in love facing the challenges of their day. It's the story that transforms the messy scene of childbirth into this amazing union between God and man, between God and us. It's the word that bridges the gap between us and God. Emmanuel, God is with us. Without that word, Mary and Joseph would just be like you and me. Without that word, the course of history wouldn't have changed. We wouldn't have to work out today what it all means, but our history would look drastically different. God is with us in the messiness of our lives. God is with us in the disappointments of family gatherings not being able to go ahead. God is with us when we are forced to sit outside in the cold because it's worth it to be with our family members. God is with us whether we are working, whether we are alone, whether we are with others this Christmas time. God is with us in the messiness of our story, just like he was with them in the messiness of Mary and Joseph's story, in the riches and the poverty, in the sickness and the health. Emmanuel transforms our understanding of this world. However, 2,000 years have passed and people's mistakes, we need to unravel their misunderstandings because God with us has been used to conquer other nations, to bring about slavery, servitude. God with us can be used to bring about great ill in our world, to rob riches of others in our world. We might have a history of claiming that God is with us when we want something that other people have. I think if you look back at the British history, I think there's a saying where we've used that. God is with us so we can go and do whatever we want. It came to the forefront this year when people removed monuments to those who were involved in the slave trade. Just had enough. How could we immortalize these people who claimed that God was with us and then went to do great horrific things? But what if God is with us today? What if we understand it not to mean that we just get whatever we want? I think that's a really childlike way of looking at it. But that God is with us to bring his love to our lovely world. God is with us to bring his love to his lovely world. What if it means we're the ones to bring God's love to others? Shout for his peace on earth. Risk sharing, risk caring for the community around us. Risk giving away this precious truth that we can so easily keep hidden from others. May hope bring us to an understanding of Emmanuel, God with us. I pray it would be part of our message as a church as we go into next year, that God is with us as we reach out to those around us. As a way of reflecting and meditating on this, we're going to listen to our friends from Engage Worship lead a meditation on this word, Emmanuel. So we'll listen to that now. Thank you, Toby.
You're listening to Pause, Pray from Engage Worship.
Ago, before the coming of Jesus, the people of Israel were exiled, taken captive, and removed from their promised land. And after their return from exile, their land was occupied by the Roman Empire. Through their suffering, they held on to God's promise given to Isaiah. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. The people of Israel longed for this Messiah, Emmanuel, to come and bring freedom from exile and oppression. Sometimes we might feel like exiles, as though we don't fit in, and that God's promises are far away. Perhaps you know of people who are especially struggling with mourning, loneliness, or captivity right now. Use the words of this hymn to pray for these people and for other aspects of our broken world. Ask that God might be Emmanuel, God with us, in situations of struggle, pain, and tyranny.
Exile.
pray for places of darkness that you are aware of. Name situations, people, or nations where you long to see God's light break in and disperse death's dark shadows. Come, embrace, and unify the human race. Command our sad divisions cease, and be for us the Prince of Peace.
Well, let us pray. We've got some prayer requests that people have put online, so let's bow our heads. I'm in prayer. Lord God, we pray for all those who are working through our Christmas period so that we can have security and safety. We pray for Suzanne and Stuart's grandson who's ill in hospital in London. I pray for comfort and peace for their parents. Lord God, we pray for all those whose plans have been drastically altered in the last 24 hours. Lord God, we acknowledge that Christmas Day is an important day, but it's not all the days. But Lord God, we pray that you would bless those who are dealing with disappointments. I pray also that these restrictions, these challenges, might encourage people to think about the real significance of Christmas, beyond the Christmas dinner, beyond the traditions that we love so much, but that the message of hope and peace that is at the heart of our Christmas story. And Lord God, we pray for our fellowship. We pray as we have been able to gather here this week, online or in the building. Lord God, I pray we would be hope bringers and that we might make the most of every opportunity to share your truth and your love. And Lord God, we pray for those who are ill and unwell. Bring peace and restoration to them. Lord God, bind us together as a community as we move forward together. Amen. Well, the worship group will close our service for us. Just want to encourage you, you're able to come next week, so you can book in for next Sunday. Christmas morning, we're not in the building. We'll be online. If you don't have access to online resources, we have some DVDs. We'll distribute those to people who we know can't view online. But we look forward to gathering in these strange times on Christmas morning. The Sunday afterwards, we'll be around. The week after that, Richard Renouf is going to come and bring God's word to us as well. God bless you. God bless our church. And we'll let Lawrence and the team and Charlotte lead us out in our worship. Thank you.